what I was before. I changed what I was about. I'm Muslim out here, black, that's what I am now. Don't rate me for the things I did then, that was foul. But enough for the drugs and the pow, pow, pow. I'm sick of the weed and liquor, I'm stamping it out now. We getting tea from Allah, I'm changing my lifestyle.
Rose to Islam. It was a dream, but now, alhamdulillah, it's a reality. It's a reality.
Certain things I did on road, I hope I never have to look back. The cook crap, the soul from the hood rap. The life controlled in my hand as a hood rap.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Roadside to Islam. Aki, can you introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, my name is Musa, alhamdulillah. Some of you might know me from the streets or work the music game as Fury, Sizzle, alhamdulillah.
Aki, how long you been Muslim for?
I've been Muslim now, coming up to 5 years, subhanAllah.
Alhamdulillah. Aki, can you tell the viewers a little bit about your life before you started practicing the deen?
SubhanAllah, Aki. Before Islam, my life was it was up and down, innit? I was on the streets. And to give you a clear picture, the main influences I had in the streets as a young boy, first, obviously, I grew up in an area where crime rate is up. Everybody's trying to get a quick buck and everyone's trying to get money. So I would say by the time I was 13 years old, 12 years old, I had an influence and I had a hunger of being successful. But where I'm from, success was based upon the streets and getting money and what the elders had. So I'll say the big influences for me, especially at that age there, 12, was the people that was older than me, because I had an urge to roll with people that were older than me. So I was always like the youngest in the team. So now from that age there, 12, 13, I started doing all sorts of things that people today might be surprised of. Like I was on the streets, that we were doing robberies. We were in and out of shops. We were robberies, from street robberies to shop robberies. We were doing all sorts of stuff. That way there, you know, it was getting a name on the streets. People would know who I was. By the time I was 15, getting kicked in and out of school. Time I was 15, I was even driving a car to school. How about that? I remember going to my first auction after making a little money on the streets, buying a little £50 car, subhanAllah, act. And like, I was out there doing what I had to do. Getting on to 15, 16, now it comes a bit serious. Because now, before, when people were looking at you a bit young and whatever, now you start getting a deep voice, you start growing up a bit. So now people start taking you serious on the streets. And this is when I started getting into the drug game. The drug game was up and down until I hit about 17, when I was out there on the streets with the olders, and I was getting that real money. And my name was starting to fly about, and I was also putting in work on the streets. So it was just up and down. But at the same time, I was somebody that was respectful to the elders, especially to parents and people like that. And I would say that I was known to be a humble person, but handles his business. So once a month, maybe you might catch me in the church on that Sunday. I'll be in there, because at the same time, doing what I was doing, I always felt like, you know what? They something more than this. I felt like I wasn't utilizing my skills the best I could. So this was one of the things that always used to be on my mind when I was out here on the streets and getting what I was getting. I was happy, I was successful, I was getting the money, I was doing what I was doing, I was rolling with the man them, things were looking good, but I always felt like, you know what, I'm better than this. But this was something that you couldn't really speak about on the road, because you'll talk to the man them, you're all high, you're in the car, man's talking like, you know what, we need to get out of the hood, we need to get out of the hood. The game is dead, the game is dead. Everyone would talk it, but the next day, that was in the back of our heads. We were back out there on the grind, getting that money and doing what we do best. So the streets, it was like a funny thing. But coming on to about 17, 18, I got into the rap game. So now the rap game was just coming up. Me and a couple of men there from Woolly Road, Buck, Ski, Swift, alhamdulillah, a couple of them's embraced Islam. We started doing this rap thing as representing the streets, Wharf Road. Started rapping with a couple of men from Peckham, like Hollow and that. And we were doing our thing. And this is where my name started not just being around my area and the local boroughs like Peckham and Rickson. I started to get out there, like East, North, West. The man would be like, right, that's Sizzle. That's Fury from such and such. And the rap game was really, I was just like talking about what I was doing, what I was living. And then this was something that would influence the youth that I never knew it had an influence, to the point that when I would go places, people will be like, "Rah, ain't that such and such, ain't that?" And I'll be like, "Rah, people are really listening to what I'm doing. This gave me some sort of empowerment that for me to have new stuff to write about, I have to go harder on the streets." So like, it was just a life of trying to, you know, it was a life of showing off. I wasn't doing nothing for myself. Whatever I'd done, people like me, I'd do more bad stuff so they can like me more. It was always for somebody else, for somebody else. But when you're by yourself, you're thinking about you, innit? What can I do for me? And this was something that made me start to look around, and I started to think about different ways of life and things like that and what I can do to get out of the hood. So this was always in my mind. And even when I was in the streets doing my thing, you know, doing the shooting, the music and the beef thing, I always had an eye for education. I'll always take that 6 months and do a 6 month course and I'll be in and out. So a couple of my men then knew me for that right, even though I was on this thing, I was in and out. I was, you know, somebody that was like, you know, I wouldn't say I was focused because I was lost, but I had an inkling for wanting more. I was never satisfied with, £100. I got 100, I need two. I got a grand, I need two. I got four, I need six. You know what I'm saying? I'm on the street, I need out. So this was something that was always in me and it was always, you know, inside of me, burning. So boom, now let's go when I got into prison. Now I end up in prison for an offensive weapon and I get banged up in a three-man bang-up and I walk in there and I meet two Asian brothers. One's Hassan and one's Hussein. Now the two brothers that I meet in there, they were in there for some other charges, a couple funny charges. But just before I went into prison, my mum was throwing a few things out the house and she had the Quran. She didn't want to throw it out, so she gave it to me. So even then, I started to read a couple pages of that just to see what it was about. This was when I wanted more and I was just trying to think what's going on out here. So I started to read a bit of that. So by the time I go to prison, I meet these brothers. What hits me straight away is like, let me see if they know what that book's really saying that I've been reading. The brothers gave me a small look. It wasn't even much of what they said, but what they done. Because they weren't the best of brothers, but Allah's their sister, Allah knows best. But it was their mannerism, you know, and their attributes of what they were doing in the situation that they were in and for the charges that they were in. That when it came, because now I've gone into prison and it's like the last 10 days of Ramadan. It's just about to start the next day just before I've gone in. So now they're starting to apply certain things in the cell. And I think it's subhanAllah what they're doing. You know, they're staying up late night, they're praying Qiyam al-Layl, you know, they're making dhikr, you know, they're praying their salats, you know, they're fasting, they're not eating to a certain time, and they're having strict rules and regulations. And then this was something for me to, like, I started to think, subhanAllah, rah, what's all this about? Ask a few questions, we get into a few things, you know, they give me an inkling, I'm like, okay. Same time, I'm like, rah, what's my man on road gonna think? So I'm thinking, you know what, this is a bit funny, because this time here, we got a couple beefs out there with a couple people that's supposed to be Muslim or not. Allah knows best. But alhamdulillah, so now I got a dislike for Islam, but inside I got a like for it. So I'm fighting myself, thinking like, this Islam sounds good, but them man on road are idiots. They're trying to do this thing, so I'm like, I'm in and out. But alhamdulillah, you know, Allah give me guidance. I go into the masjid. I chat to a couple of brothers, a couple of people I didn't like. I see them in there, you know, they're happy to hear that this is what I'm trying to do. And I embrace Islam. And since then, it's just been a different game. Alhamdulillah.
So, Aki, how would you say Islam has changed your life?
SubhanAllah, how it's changed my life is a great benefit. First, I've got to say Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Because when I look at the benefits of how Islam's changed my life, it's just like, I can't understand it. Like, one of the first things was, like, when I went out to Mecca last year, Ramadan, and I was with one of the brothers, I was saying to him, like, 4 years ago, we were in Greece, in Ayia Napa. 4 years later, we're here making sajda at the house of Allah. I'm saying, this difference is major. I'm thinking, like, you know, I've been inside prisons, I've been around Europe, I've been in the darkest alleys doing what I do, then to end up here, it was just a great change. Secondly, the worldly stuff, the money, the clothes, the things that I used to chase that were empty, they don't mean much to me, you know? And just the appreciation of life, the appreciation of knowing that many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have took me when I was in the darkest places of this dunya, in the nightclubs, on the street selling the drugs, doing the robberies, in so many circumstances, Allah could have took my soul, you know, and he spared me for this guidance. I got to be pleased for that.
So you see man them on the road, now when they see you, that you're practicing the deen, how do they look at you now?
Alhamdulillah, because like I was saying before, I was known to be on this thing, but I was a humble guy. And most people that knew me from the streets knew me as somebody that was humble and somebody that always wanted more. So when man see me, it's not a shock to their system that I'm somebody that's embraced the religion and has took it serious. Because whatever I do, I took it serious. Wherever I was on the streets, I gave it 100%. If I hold you down, I give you 100%. So when I took this liking to Islam, when I embraced Islam, automatically the people knew that I would give it 100%. So when they see me first, it was a shock, obviously, because for me, I had to put on the kameez, I had to put the throbe on just to protect myself from what I used to do. You know, being with the throbe and the kameez, you can't be in a certain area and they can't be doing certain stuff. So this was a protection for me. But this was new to the people that I grew up with and to my man, them, they're like, SubhanAllah, right, he's really taking this thing serious, and they accepted it, alhamdulillah.
So, Aki, how has Islam changed your life?
Alhamdulillah, Aki, how Islam changed my life is crazy, Aki, because before Islam, you know, I used to be doing things that I couldn't see myself doing now. Like just the other day or last year, Ramadan, when me and the brother went out to Mecca, I was telling him, like, listen, we were in Ayia Napa like 4 years ago. 4 years later, we're here making sajda in the house of Allah. Now, these were things that we couldn't comprehend or understand or see to happen. Even just, you know, the way that we change our way, how we live and how we respect the people around us, it's just to take an appreciation to life, Aki. Because I used to tell him, SubhanAllah, one man was robbing, stealing, shotting, doing what we were doing, Aki, and in the nightclubs and raving with all this whatever, Aki, Allah could have took our soul, Aki. And if Allah would have took us, SubhanAllah, man, we know what happens to the people in that condition, Aki. So for Allah to spare us and to give us this opportunity to become a Muslim, Aki. You see, like a Muslim, Aki, it's major, Aki. It's a major thing from being a non-Muslim to a Muslim. It's major. We have to appreciate Allah gives you that chance, Aki. Allah picks you out of a creation of people and brings you into the fold of Islam, Aki, SubhanAllah. You got to be grateful, Aki. You got to make that sajda of gratefulness and say Allahu Akbar every day, Aki.
You see, when you used to do the music industry, obviously when you were doing the music, you were known for talking a lot of hard stuff. No. For example, shooting, robberies, etc. Now, the people who used to listen to you, when they see you now, how do they take to it, to the transmission?
Boy, the youth, they thought it was just a phase, because there's a lot of people that are Muslim, but are still rapping. Are Muslim, but are still committing the sins openly and outwardly, and the people know of it. So then they thought that, OK, Sizzle is doing his rap thing, he goes hard in the booth, the success that he's getting or the name that he's building for himself, they doubted that I could throw that away for the sake of Islam. They thought, nah, he's out there. He's got to a level where if he stays on this thing focusedly, he's going to be out there. It's going to be a household name. So many of the people would doubt that I would leave the rap game for Islam. So what I had to do then is throw the throbe on, like I said, because I couldn't be wearing a throbe and then in the studio rapping. And then I couldn't take the throbe off for the sake of rapping. So it was either I chose the deen or didn't choose, or chose the deen or left the deen. I couldn't do both. So me, I chose the deen, and then slowly but surely I kept away from the music, kept away from my surroundings, and stayed away from the people that wanted to do music for the best that I could, so I didn't fall into it. And alhamdulillah, you know, I haven't gone back to the music. The people still see me. Even till like last week, I'll see someone and they'll be like, yo, Sizz, what, can I get you in the studio? Can I get you in the booth? I'm like, it's been 4 years, man. I don't do this, you know? So this is what's really going on still.
Aki, how did your mum take it when you became Muslim?
Alhamdulillah, because like I was saying before, she gave me a Quran just before I spent a little time in prison. And this Quran was given to her by a family member and she didn't want to throw it away. And what my mum didn't also tell me is that in her youth, she embraced Islam. And due to coming over to England in a Christian country, she kind of left her Islam and started to just, you know, fit in with the people, applying for the best schools, being the Christian schools and sending us to these sort of places. And obviously when she had got married, she had sort of left her childhood and that part of her life when she had embraced Islam for a little while and started to do what she'd done. So when she had the Quran, she still had a liking to it and understanding to know that it was the book of Allah and she didn't want to just throw it away. So she gave it to me, knowing that I needed guidance. Because SubhanAllah, like, my mum's been up through the ups and downs with me to the point where she used to find my guns at, like, you know, where you, like, man's just wasteful at just bringing guns home and things like that. Mum's going in the room, checking it, finding money, finding guns. And it was a big shock to her that her son was on these things. But so she gave me the book. I took the book on. Alhamdulillah, I embraced Islam. And after me embracing Islam, 12 months later, my mum embraced Islam and became Muslim again, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. So Aki, what advice have you got to the youth on the road, living this gangbanging life, putting work on the road? What advice have you got to them, inshallah ta'ala?
Alhamdulillah, I would have two sets of advice. The advice for the youths that are not Muslim, that are living this life, this is, first and foremost, they need to find Islam. If they have an inclination of wanting to know Islam, they have a few friends that are Muslim or whatever, and they think it's subhanAllah, I want to know about Islam, but my brethren, he says he's Muslim, but he's just like me. He's not really doing nothing. He says he's Muslim, so what's the benefit of me embracing Islam if we're both going to be on the road? Because certain times, as a non-Muslim, you want to embrace Islam, and the only person that's showing you Islam is your friend, but he's just as bad as you. But you're trying to overstep him. You're not trying to be a Muslim and be like him. You're trying to be a Muslim and go beyond that and practice your deen. But you can't see a way out and you don't know who to ask except for him. So then you end up leaving it off because of his da'wah is not correct. So what I would say to that is look past that. Look past his downfalls, look past his faults, and ask him about what is really Islam. What do you know about Islam, and where can I find guidance? Where can I go to? Do you know any organisation, just like yourself, Roadside to Islam? Do you know anything that I can go and, you know, find out about this deen of Islam? And for those that are Muslims, subhanAllah, when Allah, like I was saying earlier, chooses you to be a Muslim over the non-Muslims, don't take it for granted. This is not something that we should take for granted in this dunya. This is something that is a very, very serious matter. For Allah to give you, you know, a key and tell you, okay, this key, if you want to use it correctly, it would open the door to Jannah. It's here, take the key. And for Allah to have another creation that He doesn't give a key at, they'll knock as much as they want and the doors of Jannah will never open for them, Aki. So for Allah to give you a way in, you shouldn't take it for a joke and want to use it. Like, subhanAllah, we need to think about it. The youth need to think, where do they want to be? Do they want to be in this culture of just gang banging, robbing and stealing? It's easy to be said that. We used to live that life. We were there. We know when you're in that trance, you can't see a way out. But if you want something that much, just how you want a new pair of Nikes, you go on the street, you put in the extra hours, you get that money, you want a new car, you put that effort in, you get that money. You can do the same for Islam, Aki. If you want a way out, put that effort in and you're going to get that iman, inshallah, to Allah.
You know, you were saying basically when you were in jail, before you went to jail, you had a few problems with certain Muslims who were on the streets, etc. So when you came to the deen, these same guys that you used to have beef with, how did they take to you now they knew that you were Muslim?
Alhamdulillah. You know, that's a very important question, because a lot of people that want to embrace Islam and they have beef with a Muslim, or they have some sort of altercation with the brothers, they use it, or shaitan use it, an excuse for them not to embrace Islam. But alhamdulillah, when I embraced Islam, I had some doubts. You know, I used to keep away from certain masjids and keep away from certain people because I still had that, you know, that jahiliya in me, like, right, if man try it, I'll pull it on him. Like, regardless, because I didn't have that understanding and I didn't know that the brothers would embrace me how they did. And alhamdulillah, when I met up with a couple of the brothers, they embraced me and they were happy to know that, right, that beef is finished, we're starting a new thing, and it's based upon friendship or based upon Islam. We're both a bit in and out, not knowing how to take each other. You know, seeing man the first couple of times, and man's like, right, is he Muslim? Not saying nothing, but then coming up to man, salamu alaikum, right, you're on your thing, mashallah. And it just bridges the gaps. It bridges the gaps when the brothers are from two different areas. And alhamdulillah, they, you know, it was good. And I'll tell most brothers, if you're out there and you're thinking, yeah, I want to embrace Islam, but I've got beef with certain people, don't watch that, man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put something in their heart act where they embrace you and they just leave the history behind, you get me?
All right, before Islam, you were saying that obviously you used to sell drugs, etc. So you were making a lot of money.
Yeah.
Now you've come to Islam, obviously you've left that life behind. Yeah. How do you adapt now that you were used to getting so much money, now everything has changed? How do you adapt to this lifestyle now?
Yeah, that's another important question, that car. Before Islam, getting our money at, man, we're getting money, we're counting paper. So living that life, buying what you want to buy, like, you're not even asking for receipts, you're not asking for the price. You go in the shop, you're not asking how much does that cost. You're just like, yeah, I like that, boom, take it to the till. You're copying in it, you're doing what you do, and you're living the moment. You don't have time to stop and think like, subhanAllah, you're not budgeting. There ain't no budgeting, only what you're saving. You put your stack away and then you spend and you do what you want to do. So now embracing Islam, getting married and having a family and having to work, it's a shock to the people. And this is something that can be a downfall for the Muslim, where you think that, nah, I'll never get a job. I still need to shop. Alhamdulillah, I'm Muslim, but the only thing I'm going to do is shop. I'm going to give up smoking, I'm going to give up rapping, I'm going to give up meeting girls, I'm going to give up all the other stuff that you used to be upon, but I need to sell drugs because I can't get a job. But really, when I embraced Islam, like I told you before, I was somebody that when I do something, I do it 100%. So when I embraced Islam, there weren't no 50-50 at. Shotting wasn't an option. The day I made shotting not an option was the day that it weren't coming back in my life. So what I had done was that when I was down, it wasn't an option. Once shotting is an option, and this is going out to the brothers out there, if you leave it as an option, as soon as you fall low, you're going to go back to it like that, because it's an option. You're like, boy, if everything else fails, I'll go back to the road. But if it's not an option, that you're at the bottom, what can you do? You have to find new ways and new means and getting out there and doing that thing. And alhamdulillah, I was able to go to Umrah in Ramadan, come back, and then me and the brother, or before we went to Umrah actually, me and the brother, we went out to Egypt, then we came back and we opened up a bookshop. And from there, we started to make a few, you know, little change here and there, little means. And I was just putting myself out there, alhamdulillah, Allah provided for me, got me a job. And the money that I'm making at the job, I used to make that every day, every 2 days, you know. Like, it's just stupid money. But alhamdulillah, the benefit is you can see the benefit at. Because £100 now takes me further than £100 used to before. I spend £100 like this, Aki. Now I can buy something for £100 and pull it in my house and it lasts for like three months, Aki. It's still there, you're still seeing the benefits. Like, I'll give you an example. Water bill come in the other day, at the water bill for 3 months, or 4 months, was like 150. That 150 paid the water bill for 4 months. Come on, that would have been a quick pair of Nikes, in and out. So that's the benefits that there of, you know, leaving that alone and just believing in Allah, having tawakkul in Allah, inshallah.
Another question I wanted to ask you. Basically, even sometimes when I'm talking to non-Muslims and I'm trying to tell them about the deen, they love to use the excuses that, look how many Muslims I know. They do music, they do rapping, they're selling drugs, etc. So what's the point of me becoming Muslim? If I become Muslim, I'll be doing everything they're doing, but the only difference is that when I see another Muslim, I send him salam. What advice have you got to non-Muslims regarding that matter?
Well, I'll tell the non-Muslims, when it comes, we got the principles in Islam, and one of the principles is that when it comes to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to look up. When it comes to the deen, i.e., when it comes to somebody being better than yourself, you should always look up and try to better yourself. If you see somebody that's praying 5 times a day, alhamdulillah, you should say, yeah, I need to be praying 5 times a day and doing the night prayer. You shouldn't say, alhamdulillah, I pray 5 times a day, my man there only prays once, I'm better than him. You're not meant to look down at the people when it comes to ibadah. You're always meant to look up and how you can better yourself, because we can always all better ourselves in ibadah. And then when it comes to the dunya, the principle of the dunya is that you should look down. You should say, subhanAllah, Allah's Qadr has given him, you know, he only has £10 a week. Alhamdulillah, Allah's blessed me with a Qadr of £100 a week. I should be grateful for my £100 a week and be in more ibadah, more worship, and be more grateful to Allah. So this is what we need to do. If Allah grants you something good in the dunya, you shouldn't complain and say, oh, he has better than me, or I need to do this. So when you see your Muslim friends out here and they're not really portraying the deen of Islam and they're not practicing their deen, you shouldn't think, subhanAllah, if I become Muslim, I'm going to be just like him. You need to think, subhanAllah, he's not the example. The example of a great Muslim is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever we look at an example, I'll give you an example. If you tell your boy, okay, example, the non-Muslim will say to his boy, you want to be a footballer, you can be like Zidane. You can be like Thierry Henry. You're not going to tell him you can be like Paul Simmons from Blackburn. You know what I mean? Somebody that's not really putting in a shift. You're always going to look at the best of examples. And when you tell your son you can be anything, you give him the best of examples. You don't tell him, oh, you can grow up, you can have a great job, and you're going to be a road cleaner. You tell him you can be a doctor, you can be a lawyer, you can be this. So similarly in Islam, if you want to look for an example on what to be and how to be a good Muslim, look at the best of the Muslims, you know. Look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at the Sahaba, look at, you know, Abu Bakr, Umar, radiallahu anhu, look at these people and know that these are the examples you want to be to. And if you fall short of that, alhamdulillah, you just try and try and keep on bettering yourself, inshallah ta'ala. And this is something that the people should look at and look for the best of examples, because many of the people today, they'll come to you and they'll say, Aki, why does that Muslim drink? Why does that Muslim smoke? Why does that Muslim rob? Why is that Muslim stealing? Is that allowed? Is that allowed? They always give you the lowest of examples, when really they should be saying, subhanAllah, isn't a Muslim meant to be like the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Isn't that the correct way of Islam? And then this will make them embrace Islam easier, or will take the waswas or the shaitan away, inshallah ta'ala.
Jazakallah khairan. To see more exclusive interviews, go to www.roadsideislam.com. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
What I was before, I changed what I was about. I'm Muslim out here, blood, that's what I am now. Don't rape me for the things I did then, that was foul. But enough for the drugs and the pow, pow, pow. I'm sick of the weed and liquor, I'm stamping it out now. We can't tea from Allah, I'm changing my lifestyle.